Trust to Protect. Brought to you by C103, the IBI, and funded by the Commission Naman with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Now, as we face global challenges such as climate change, resource depletion and social inequality, the urgency to adopt sustainable practices becomes more apparent than ever. Our new feature, called Ours to Protect, will shed light on how sustainability touches every aspect of our lives, from the food we eat to the products we consume, to the way we design cities and foster community resilience. Throughout this feature, we'll be joined by experts and change makers who are at the forefront of the sustainability movement. Together, we'll examine the innovative strategies and groundbreaking technologies that are revolutionising industries and paving the way for a more sustainable future. However, sustainability is not just about the efforts of governments and organisations. It also rests in the hands of individuals like you and me. We'll explore how our everyday choices, whether in transportation, energy consumption, or waste management, can have a profound impact on shaping a sustainable world for future generations. Our aim is to inspire and empower listeners, as we believe that each and every one of us has a role to play in fostering sustainability. By exploring the challenges, the opportunities and the success stories surrounding this global movement, we hope to ignite a sense of optimism and motivate positive action. And joining me to discuss why we need to become greener and more sustainable, I'm joined by Deirdre Duff of Friends of the Earth. Good morning to you, Deirdre.
Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. I have to say, every day this week, I think because my mind is so focused on this new feature that we were doing, every single newspaper I opened up this week or every time I went online, it just seemed to be more and more bad news when it came to the climate. I mean, you know, I was reading about less than an eighth of all the materials used in Europe came from recycled waste. Only yesterday, I was seeing comments that scientists are warning that global warming brought on by human activity is continuing at an unprecedented rate and has been over the past 2 years. And greenhouse gas emissions are at an all-time high. Why and where are we going wrong?
So I think, yeah, you're right. Look, we're in a very serious situation. I suppose just firstly, maybe to say too, I think it's really wonderful that you're doing this project. So really, really good to hear that. And I think in terms of where we're going wrong, like, we do have the answers, we do have the solutions. I think we're lacking the political will to act on this. So I suppose I think we should let that be a reason for hope. It's not a hopeless case. We can act, but we just, as you say, all of us have to get involved in pushing for action on this really existential issue.
Yeah, because I mean, we learned just this week how far Ireland is from reaching our greenhouse gas emission targets by the end of the decade. We're way off.
We are way off. And I suppose we have to realise too that even if we were to reach those targets, they wouldn't add up to our fair share globally. So we've an awful lot of work to do, and I think we have to probably, the time for tinkering around the edges is gone, you know, we've left it too late. So we really need to just recognize that we need serious action here, you know. But I think the thing is that, and you mentioned this when you were kind of describing your project, that we have a climate crisis, but we also have an inequality crisis. And I think maybe the more positive thing is that if we get climate action right, we can hugely reduce inequality and we can actually really improve standards of living for the majority of people. So I think we have to keep those kind of co-benefits in mind and to think that, look, we can actually do something really positive here that will not only protect the planet that we depend on for life, but that will also make people's lives better. And I suppose just to give one example of that, like at the moment, we have this crippling dependence on fossil fuels to heat our homes, to power us. And those fossil fuels are very, very expensive, as we've found even more so to be the case in the last year or so. And they're also very polluting and they're also very dirty. They're volatile. They're causing huge, huge health problems too. But if we could break our dependence on fossil fuels and do things like retrofitting our homes with better insulation, getting heat pumps installed, we could lift people who are struggling, really struggling at the moment to pay energy bills, and think back to the winter when so many people were essentially in energy poverty. We could free ourselves of that energy poverty. You know, we could keep our homes warm and healthy without needing to pay huge amounts to heat our homes, while also damaging the planet. So I guess that's just one example of where we could reduce inequality and make our lives better while also
And I think that's a really good example, because the, you know, the environment will benefit from that retrofitting, but the person living in that home, who maybe was one of those ones battling fuel poverty last winter, they will hugely benefit. What about transport? And we hear a lot about transport emissions. Again, it's one of those ones where we're way off the target on our transport emissions. What can we do under transport?
The really important thing here is to improve our public transport systems. You know, we need to make it easy for people to get from A to B, especially in rural Ireland, without having to rely on cars. So we need a massive kind of moonshot effort at massively improving our public transport system. And I think we can all play a role here in this. Like, we might feel disempowered if we live in an area where there just is no public transport, but there are things we can do. You know, we can talk to our local TDs, our local councillors, about the need for better public transport. And every time we have those conversations, we're increasing the political will and the urgency at rolling out public transport. So every one of us can play a part in this. And I suppose at Friends of the Earth, we're trying to help people do that, and we've different ways. So, for example, if people go onto our website, friendsoftheearth.ie, you can find different ways that you can get involved with other people in your own local area to get involved in things like this. So at the moment, we're running a cuppa for climate. So there's a toolkit on our website that you can sign up for, and it will help you gather together a few of your friends, a few of your neighbours, family members, or so on, or maybe do it in your workplace, where you can all get together, have a cuppa, and have a chat about climate issues in your local area. And there's also the optional if you want to do some fundraising for Friends of the Earth too. Or if you want to do something a bit more, you know, that's getting more involved in say talking to TDs and so on, we have these One Future groups. So people can go to onefuture.ie /join, and basically if you sign up there, we will link you up with people in your local area who want to take action on climate. So maybe want to talk to your TDs about the need for local public transport, or whatever it is. Maybe you want to get solar panels on your local school. That's another thing we're working on. So there's lots of things you can do, and I think really once you get involved in this, hope comes from action.
Yeah,
and,
well know, said.
Know
well
that
said.
You're making a difference.
Yeah, and I think rather than burying our heads in the sand, let's you know see what we can do. I mean, do you what is your view on the proposal from the EU on the nature restoration law? I know the Commission are proposing to restore at least 20% of the EU's land and sea areas by 2030 and repair all ecosystems in need of restoration by 2050. That is that a step in the right direction?
Absolutely, you know, but as Ireland, we need to support that. I think the problem at the moment is that some Irish MEPs have been obstructing it. For example, say the party that Fine Gael is in Europe, the European People's Party, they walked out of the negotiations on that. So again, we can do something on that as ordinary citizens. We can talk to our local Fine Gael MEPs and all our MEPs and ask them to look, this is really important, we should be supporting this. And I suppose just the importance of that nature restoration measure, like our habitats are in such a perilous state at the moment. And some of this stuff we don't maybe see straight away, but like we rely on, say, pollinators, insects, on those habitats for our food. We wouldn't have food without, you know, the insects and the pollinators that make growing and producing food possible, and which also make, you know, our farming possible, which is so important for people's lives and for people's livelihoods. So getting, and it relies on our ecosystems. So getting those into better shape is just really crucial. And I think maybe as we start kind of looking around at ecosystems and, you know, getting even simple things like learning the names of birds, learning the names of insects, we can recognise the beauty and the diversity in that.
Well said.
And then we start to feel if we lost it, it would mean so much. One simple little thing, Patricia, that I've been kind of noticing and maybe even talking to older people about is that, you know, maybe 30 years ago when you were driving, even only a short distance, you know, maybe you washed your car beforehand and you drove a short distance down the road and you looked at your bumper after and it was full of splats from insects that you'd run into. Now you can drive maybe 100 miles after cleaning your car and there might only be a few insects. So like our insect population is collapsing.
It's in decline. Wow, that's a really good point. That is a really good point. Listen, Deirdre, it's a pleasure speaking to you. Friendsoftheearth.ie. You have a great website. Thank you for that and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Patricia. Real pleasure.
Good Take morning care. To you. That is Deirdre Duff of Friends of the Earth kicking off our Hours to Protect. Now, there's always a lot of talk around recycling and waste management. And as we're embarking on this project, Hours to Protect, we wanted to have an honest conversation with people from Cork about how they are taking measures to manage waste. We hit the streets of Cork to ask people if they recycle and what measures they take to make sure that they are being sustainable at home and at work.
I do recycle. I make sure that the plastic is clean before it goes into the recycling bin. And if I'm unsure about something, I check the back and like the different symbols and what they mean, whether something can or can't be recycled.
I do, yeah. We recycle at home. We recycle, put our plastics in one bin and our food in another. We make conscious effort, I suppose, to recycle.
I do recycle and I really hope I recycle correctly. From primary school, I think we were one of the first green schools in Cork, or even Ireland at least. So I've learned from a young age, and all my friends have as well, how to recycle. And even at University College Cork, we're a plastic-free campus now, so that's really great.
I wouldn't say I'm very particularly crazy about it, but I try to do my part because I know that even the small piece really matters. So I have like a general recycling bin for dry recyclables, and I also have a bin for like food waste and separate for compost and stuff. So again, just like basic stuff that everybody does.
Yeah, so in my house, we have the four different bins, the compost, glass, recycling, and then just general waste. But we live like on the side of a public street. So often like that stuff gets contaminated because people on nights out throw their pizza boxes in. And like, it's just like, it's quite disheartening.
I do when the bins are available, but since I live in an apartment building that only has glass recycling, I only then recycle glass, so I would clean it and then let it dry and put it in the bins. At work we have more recycling, so I would do it there as well, but mostly just trash really, unfortunately.
Yes, it requires that, I think, of like that we now have the capacity for recycling, and that's facilitated through our waste collection, so it's easy enough for people. It just requires an extra bin in the house and just a knowledge of what is and isn't recyclable, because there are some things like soft plastics that are on the border and how you clean things. But it's something when you see the amount of waste that goes into the waste bin, that's really distressing. The more you can put into the recycling bin is so much better.
For glass recycling, the closest glass recycling facility is 10 minutes away, so technically we do recycle in my flat, but like there is a year of glass waste accumulated on the table in the corner of a flat that we're like, we should take it to the recycling bin someday. We will eventually, but not yet.
Recycling is so specific and so intensely specific to the product. I try my absolute best to recycle. I try and reuse more if I can than recycle. My biggest shout out that I really want everybody to know is when you have compostable, Vegware is the brand, but we would now just kind of like bio call it a Vegware. Anything that's a compostable cafe stuff, the check that it is, if you're going to put it in your compost, check it's home compostable, because so often they are machine enzyme compostable, and if you don't have the big enzyme biomass thing, you can't do it. So you're actually just generating more plastic. It's so much better just bring your own mug if you can.
And thanks to the people who took part on our Vox Pops on the street of Cork. Now, Pauline McDonough is Circular Economy Coordinator for Southern Waste Region, and she joins me to further discuss how to recycle correctly. Good morning to you, Pauline.
Good morning, Patricia.
And thank you for taking our call. Good to hear people on that Vox Pop, isn't it, trying to do their bit when it comes to recycling. But so many people will admit getting it wrong. I mean, what are the common mistakes?
Absolutely. So I'd just like to start by saying that was very encouraging because nobody said they weren't recycling, but some people did say that they were confused or that there was a little bit of a problem with knowing what goes where. So I suppose it's something that it's hard for us all to remember because the rules have changed over the years. So the most important thing, the simplest rule that we can give people is everything that goes into your recycling bin should be placed in there clean, dry and loose. And this is really important because even if you put the wrong thing in, as long as it's clean, dry and loose, when it gets to the big recycling centre, it can be sorted by the really knowledgeable staff that are dealing with this every day.
Because that is a big issue when people, and they're trying to do their bit with recycling in the recycling bin, but if that bin gets contaminated, everything in the bin can be ruined.
Absolutely, Patricia. And that poor lady who was saying that she puts her bins out and then somebody comes along and throws in a takeaway packaging, you know, and if it's a pizza box, that's relatively clean. But if it was, say, you know, like a curry or a Chinese, that could damage all the paper that's in there. And so this is a difficulty, you know, and we see this at events always, you know, nighttime recycling is never as good as daytime recycling. And then the other rule of thumb that I would give to people is the food waste. And a lot of people mention the food waste. So food waste is very specific. We need to be really careful with food waste recycling. It's the food waste we want and not the packaging. And what we have seen is a doubling of the amount of plastic that people have put into their food waste bin. So this is simply where people aren't removing the packaging. And then when it goes to that industrial composter, like somebody was talking about there, that material gets shredded. It's very hard for us to ensure that we keep it out of the food waste stream. And let's remember, we're making compost from this. So we certainly don't want to be adding plastic to our soils through compost. So this is really important. It's only the food waste that should go into that waste stream, that food waste recycling bin.
Okay, and I think we are thankfully getting a little bit better at recycling our food waste. But Pauline, ultimately, we should have very little food waste.
Oh, absolutely. And prevention is the key. And remember that, you know, there is food poverty in Ireland as well. It's really important that we all take a moment, take a breath, always before we go and do our shopping, make a shopping list, only buy what we think we are going to use. And I know in weather like this, our plans can often change, but we should do our utmost, environmentally and morally to prevent food waste from ever arising. And of course, there's unavoidable food waste. And that's the type of material that we're interested in collecting, you know, like, say, for example, your peelings and your coffee grounds and all of those things. But you're right, Patricia, prevent first, recycle second.
Okay, and you've got further information. You've got an excellent website, mywaste.ie, if people want to get further information.
That's it, absolutely. And mywaste.ie is specific to Ireland because we know if you just Google a recycling question, you're going to get answers from all over the world. And that's why the government have invested in our own specific waste management site for Ireland, all about preventing and recycling and composting, all of the items that make up waste management, specific, as I say, to our own Irish context.
Okay, listen, Pauline, pleasure talking to you. Thank you for that. And thanks for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thank you so much, Patricia.
Good morning. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That is Pauline McDonough, Circular Economy Coordinator for the Southern Waste Region. Now, to discuss how we can help the environment by looking at our own homes, I'm joined by Shane Murphy, and Shane is with Ashgrove Renewables, and we're going to be discussing retrofitting our homes. Good morning to you, Shane.
Good morning.
And you're very welcome. I suppose the obvious question, what are the advantages of retrofitting our homes?
Well, apart from obviously trying to reduce the energy cost of your home, which is, I suppose, front and centre for everybody at the moment, many people are also trying to get more comfortable homes. So they might be happy with the amount they're paying, but for the amount, they mightn't be getting enough heat. So we have a lot of people living in older houses and they're just very careful about turning the heat on because they know it's going to cost. So, yeah, by insulating and maybe improving windows or doors or installing heat pumps or solar panels, yes, you are getting, you're reducing your running costs, but also improving the quality of living and air quality.
And I think when people think of retrofitting, they straight away think, oh, that would be way too expensive for me. There are a lot of grants. I mean, the government are really pushing people to do this.
They are. There. Yeah, there are probably five or six main grant types at the moment, from the vacant and derelict house grant, which is 50,000 for the vacant and 70,000 for a derelict house. 20 on top of the 50. But the SEI upgrade grants are anything up to kind of 35,000. And so, yeah, we've seen over the last few years essentially a doubling in those grants. And but I think most people are still really confused. So we get people calling or coming to our webinars or seminars, which we do every week. And they're aware that the grants are there, but they don't know how to get at them. And it's quite a confusing, I suppose, mechanism. The amount of grants is confusing. So they really, when they come to us, they're trying to figure out how to go about it.
I don't know what it is. The government never seem to make those things easy. I don't know why. So when someone is thinking of retrofitting, can you retrofit your house in stages?
You can.
And if so, where do you begin?
Yeah, you can. It might not be the right way to do it, but I suppose somebody on a budget, it might be the only way they can manage it. But what the government are trying to achieve is that, say, somebody like Ashgrove or any of the other solutions providers, while they're inside in your house doing, say, for example, attic insulation, and you have a project manager there, it's often very beneficial to also carry out some other works, because, you know, you have a guy managing the project anyway, and to manage a few, you know, windows and doors or wall insulation at the same time is very beneficial cost-wise. But if you wanted to take a step-by-step approach, there is what they call an individual measure grant. You'll find it on the SEI website. And so you wanted to insulate an attic or just install solar panels or put in a heat pump, you can do that on a step-by-step basis over a number of years, no problem.
Yeah, you mentioned heat pumps, and some of the other experts we've been talking to this morning, heat pumps keeps... Talk to me about what is a heat pump.
So a heat pump is essentially the same as your fridge or your freezer. It takes heat from essentially a colder area and dumps that heat into a warmer area. We're familiar with the technology, as I say, from fridges or freezers. The reason that we're interested in it as a technology is, number one, it uses electricity, which at some point in the future will be zero carbon, you know, from wind and hydro, etc. But it's using zero carbon or low carbon electricity, but... it's also an extremely efficient process. So for every unit of electricity that the unit consumes, it's harnessing from the outside air or from the ground three times more, four times more. So we call it 300 or 400% efficient in layman's terms. Yeah, so, but yeah, I suppose it's up to the designer to make sure that it is as efficient as possible. We sometimes hear about systems that are poorly designed or installed, and the running costs can be that little bit higher. If the radiators are too small, as an example, obviously the system has to run for longer, and it has to maybe run hotter than it would like to. And we do hear about higher running costs than we should. But yeah, it's an extremely good technology. It's proven. It's being utilised now right across Europe. But yeah, every now and then we do hear of issues, but yeah, they simply shouldn't be there.
And then solar panels, Shane, we've had glorious weather, a bit overcast now today. But I was looking online on people who, I was on a Facebook page where people who had solar panels installed, and they were beyond excited with the amount of electricity they were generating over the last few weeks. But do the solar panels work even when we have duller days like today?
Yeah, but not as well as they will in summer.
Bright sunshine, yeah.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, it's kind of a statistical approach. So we're expecting over a year that we'll supply or generate 50 to 60% of your electricity in a domestic house, and that will be stacked mainly to summer. I mean, that's quite intuitive. We shouldn't be surprised by that. You will get salespeople telling you that it works even if the sun isn't shining, and that is true to some extent, but it's probably only 20% of what would be on a really sunny day. There's no surprise in that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do hear of people being sold it as it doesn't matter whether the sun is shining or not, and that's simply not true.
But you know that by your little solar lights that are in the garden.
Of course.
In the winter, you'll get a little bit of light out of them, but you won't get much.
Correct.
Are solar panels proving very popular? Are a lot of people going for them?
They are. They are. For the first time, I suppose, we're in business 22 years, and for the first time in that period, I suppose, for the last year or two, the price of panels has come down a lot, and the price of electricity has probably trebled over the last 36 months. So, you know, you can certainly say to a person today that it's a 4-year payback, it's a 6-year payback, whereas previously it might have been 15 or more. So, yeah, it's a very good investment today. And really, without even asking a person about their home, you can tell them today that it's you should do it.
I was surprised to hear you say you're 22 years in business. Has technology changed over those 22 years?
Some of it has. I would say the likes of solar panels, incrementally, it hasn't been massive step changes. But I suppose price has come down. You know, when these things come out first, when we started, heat pumps were really niche. It was a very small cohort of people who were interested. So it was really niche at the time. As it becomes more mainstream, of course, it becomes cheaper naturally because there are more people offering the same service. It brings the price down. The price of the product comes down as more and more manufacturers are doing it, etc. Same as batteries or the same as electric cars or anything. It just gets cheaper. Mm. But yeah, I would say no massive change. The one thing I suppose that we've seen is that general knowledge with Joe Public is better than it was. Probably sadly. The tradespeople, we don't have enough of them in Ireland at the moment, we know that. And but yeah, so that's probably the big issue. The deployment of these types of technologies will be dependent on tradespeople. At the moment, we don't have enough of them.
I know it's an aside issue, but it's an issue we've often discussed on the programme. Apprenticeships and trying to get more young people involved in apprenticeships. We really have an issue with that.
We do.
It really has to be worked on. You mentioned that you do webinars. I'm interested in this. You run online webinars.
Yeah, we do. And we've been doing it, not the webinars, but we've been doing seminars for about 12 years for essentially the same issue. Anybody building a new house or retrofitting a house, we've been doing kind of monthly seminars. So a person could come and sit quietly or ask a load of questions, depending on the personality. But they're very casual days. But we've been doing it for 12 years. We have one on actually tomorrow at the GAA complex in Mallow. We run them every month. That's a face-to-face seminar. It's probably 3 hours. And that's specifically for the retrofit market. Person who wants to know, should I dry line a wall? Should I pump the cavity, do the attic insulation? Can I get grants for windows and doors? Or a person who's totally gutting an old farmhouse, how do we go about it? It's actually extremely simple. There are steps to it, but we go through that. We also run an online seminar or a webinar every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and we repeat that every Thursday at lunchtime. So to try and accommodate people after work, during work.
Yeah, because I think you're right. I think people are desperate for knowledge. People are desperate to find out more.
Yeah.
So how can people access your website?
So ashgrove.ie is the website. We're currently updating it, I suppose, for it to be maybe a little bit clearer with the grants as they change, which they have a lot in the last 12 months. So our contact our office here in Mallow.
And you're busy?
Yeah, things are crazy. Yeah.
I thought as much. Listen, yeah. I really appreciate, because you are so busy, I really appreciate you joining us in studio today. Thank you.
You're
for that.
Welcome.
That is Shane Murphy of Ashgrove Renewables in Mallow. And our thanks also to our previous speakers, who are Pauline McDonough of the Circular Economy of the Southern Waste Region, and also Deirdre Duff of Friends of the Earth. 0818 103 103. Our lines are open. And we're stronger when
together. Ours to Protect, brought to you by C103, the IBI, and funded by the Commission Naman, with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.